I wanted to cover two main themes that I see come out in the book of Ruth. That is the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of his people. The title of our sermon is called Fields of Faithfulness, Fields of Faithfulness. When talking about the harms of social media today, one of the first problems that people mention is called FOMO. That is the fear of missing out. Fear of missing out. Scroll through Instagram and you see your friends having fun at a party that you just weren't invited to. You check Snapchat and to find everyone's Bitmojis together on the Snap Map. I don't even know what that is. Without you. And this feeling of constantly missing out, we're told, is a major cause of anxiety and depression for specifically Gen Z folks. But guess what? That's just not true anymore. More often, it's the opposite. We want to avoid risk. We want to avoid rejection. We want to avoid awkwardness, and I would add, we want to avoid being uncomfortable. We want to avoid the effort. We want to avoid the energy that the real world demands. Our major problem, they say, is not the fear of missing out. It's actually the fear of taking part. Interesting. As we celebrate 50 years of God's faithfulness, I want you to have a FOMO. I want you to have a fear of missing out on experiencing firsthand the faithfulness of our God Almighty. That's the fear that I want you to have. Because what I see that emerges from this passage is absolutely the faithfulness of God, but also the faithfulness of his people. As they trust in that faithfulness, as they follow a faithful God, and you and I will experience the faithfulness of God as you and I continue to do what? Follow him by, say it, faith. This is the book of Ruth in a nutshell. Wait, Pastor Mark, I thought God is going to be faithful even when we are faithless. That's absolutely true. But is that how you want to go out? Yeah, God was faithful, but look at this sorry bunch of faithless individuals. We don't want that moniker. And I don't want that for us. Are we not challenged throughout the Bible to trust in the faithfulness of God by following him by faith? Knowing the faithfulness of God should compel us to have faith in him. This church, my friends, stands here today, yes, because of the faithfulness of God, but also because of the people who trusted in that faithfulness and followed after him no matter what the cost. I have to tell you that as I looked at the stories and heard the stories of God's faithfulness and the faithfulness of the people, I don't know how much faith I have. We've all experienced the faithfulness of God. We all are experiencing the faithfulness of God here today in this building together as a church that has continued over 50 years because of the faithfulness of people who followed him by faith, even when times were difficult. The book of Ruth finds itself in the period of Judges, where guess what? Not much faith. People were doing what was right in their own eyes, much like today. But God's faithfulness remained, and the faithfulness of a few remained. And what an amazing story. It's a story of faithfulness, first and foremost God's, and then those who follow him. It shows us how God can take a widow, two widows actually, one being a foreign widow, who had absolutely nothing, who were absolutely nobodies in their culture, and they make a huge impact, not just in their own society, not just in their own lives, but the entire world, where their beginnings were meager at best, but the ending was full, where prayers for help and support were answered in ways beyond their imagination, where they experienced the faithfulness of God as they walked in faith after him. And that is what I want for us. I see three movements. The first movement, chapter 1, faith follows God even when emptiness is upon us. I can't drink right now, sorry. This one I'm going to read a bunch from, but with all the remaining chapters, only some selections for time purposes. We can't go into everything as much as we would like to. So let's start at chapter 1, verse 1. Now, it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then Mahlon and Chilion also died. And the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return to the land of Moab, for she heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and is giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly," and I want you to take note of these prayers or these requests. "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me, and may the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them and lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we shall surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, even if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you. For the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." They lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave or to turn back from following you. For where I go, where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you from me, you and me." When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. So they went until they came to Bethlehem. They had come to Bethlehem, and the city was stirred because of them. And the woman said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very, very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Emptiness and fullness are two major themes that are seen in this book. In our opening chapter, absolutely everything is empty. As a matter of fact, if you look at the book of Judges, the faith of many in the book of Judges is an empty faith. There are empty fields. There is no grain in the fields. Because there are empty fields, there are empty bellies. Naomi's family is now pretty much empty. Her womb, as well as Ruth's womb, is empty. And their future, well, how do you think that looks? Looks pretty empty, doesn't it? But there is a fullness that remains, and that is the faithfulness of God. What is not empty is the promises of God, and we see those take place here in our opening passage. We see both aspects, the faithfulness of God, but also the faithfulness of people. And it is because of the faithfulness of God that when emptiness or bad circumstances or trial come upon us, we can continue to follow Him. How? By faith. When our church began, it began as an act of faith. They were part of another church. I actually read the typewritten or part of the typewritten letter. To read a typewritten letter is kind of strange, but it was a typewritten letter that Pastor Dave Lambertson wrote to the church, which was part of the American Baptist churches. And someone correct me if I'm wrong in any of this. And why they left was because though that group of churches did not believe fully in the inspiration of the Bible. They only believed in the inspiration of the New Testament. They didn't believe in the inspiration of the Old Testament. Dave Lambertson and a group of others who followed believed in the inspiration of the entire Bible. For them to leave the church was an act of faith. They had no idea where God was going to lead them. However, they've decided to follow God, where He was guiding them. Orpah has a chance. What does Orpah do? But she returns to her people, returns to what is familiar, returns to her gods, and returns to what looks like a future that will be full. Ruth and Naomi have what? Absolutely nothing. There's no hope for the future for them. But they have someone. This is an excerpt from one of our founders, Linda, who's sitting with us here today. And I love what she shares here. The only thing that keeps coming back to me about Galilee's beginnings is what we didn't have or do, what we did have, but most importantly, what God did. We didn't have a building. This wasn't here. They weren't even in the Family Life Center. That wasn't there. We didn't even have a worship team. We didn't even have a piano or a guitar. So much for those church marketers are going to say, I've heard church marketers say, you need a parking lot. Did you have a parking lot? No, you didn't have a parking lot. She said, we had one of those awful Magnus organs that were essentially a toy that sounded just abominable. That's her words, not mine. In the very beginning, we met in homes for Sunday morning and Sunday evenings and Wednesday night. Well, they're meeting a lot more than we are. Eventually, we met in the Friendly Village clubhouse for Sunday morning and evening, but still met in homes for prayer meetings Wednesday nights. She says, what we had was a profound sense that God had called us out of where we had been and called us together, faith. There was a closeness, a wonderful fellowship as we gathered to worship God, the likes of which I have not experienced since then. a sense of expectation about what God was going to do without knowing exactly where he would lead. We just knew that he had led us that far. We all begin in an emptiness, don't we? Apart from God, many we all need to realize we have nothing. We all need to take that initial step of faith, but we need to continue to take those steps of faith and follow him when we have nothing. Look at what we have today because of what certain individuals, the steps of faith that they took, trusting in God's faithfulness. What matters most is not what we have, but who we have. Ruth and Naomi don't have much, but they have God. And their future doesn't look very, very promising, but they have God's promises. Ruth displays great faith. Naomi's faith is struggling, but I believe she still has faith. Naturally, it's struggling, right? She just lost her entire family. Ruth chooses God, not the prospects of a full future. She chooses loyalty and devotion despite her circumstances and despite what may come. Her fear is not for the future. Her fear is leaving Naomi, someone who she cares more about than herself. The early founders didn't fear the future. They feared staying in a place that was not honoring to God. And they left. We see Ruth's faithfulness, but we see God's faithfulness to who? To Naomi. I want you to notice that. Naomi's faith is struggling. Ruth's faithfulness to Naomi is an extension of the faithful love of God for her and for his people and for the world. Even though I keep wanting to say Oprah. I'm going to say Oprah. Oprah leaves. I think it fits. Oprah, sorry. Oh, she leaves. Ruth clings to her. Do you know that clinging? That is the faithfulness of God clinging to Naomi through Ruth. Do you see that? He doesn't leave Naomi. And little does Naomi know how much of a blessing Ruth is going to be. And how that just shows God's blessing upon her life and God's faithfulness. Before we move on, just remember that prayer. Naomi still prays selfless prayers, really. In verse 8, 9, go return each of your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly. That word kind is important. As you have dealt with the dead and with me, may the Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Remember that prayer. It's a prayer for them. Second movement. As we walk by faith in him, I changed that a little bit in your bulletin, he faithfully takes care of us. Chapters 2 and 3. I'm just going to pick out a few passages in here that I want us to focus on. Starting in verse 1 in chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth, family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please, let me go into the fields and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. And then go ahead. She goes in. We know that Boaz meets her. And this is what Boaz then says to Ruth in verse 8. Then Boaz says to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go and glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from where the servants draw. She fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said, Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? He replied to her, All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. How you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and you came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord, and this is a prayer, may the Lord reward your work and your wages be full, keyword, from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he served her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Over in verse 19, actually in verse 20, this is what Naomi then says to Ruth after she reports what happens. Naomi said to her, Daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, The man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then in chapter 3, Naomi gives her instructions. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself. Put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies. You shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you shall do. And then we know she lies down. Boaz accepts her and he says to her, I'm sorry, I lost my place. He says to her in verse 13 and 3, Remain this night, and when the morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you. As the Lord lives, lie down until morning. And she goes and reports it to Naomi, and Naomi says to wait. So, sorry, that's the movements as we go through that. Those are the main verses that I'm going to be focusing on. I'm headed back to Pennsylvania next week. I have to fly into Philadelphia Airport. I have to pick up a rental car. None of these things I am looking forward to at all. I am so babied by the traffic in Maine now, and I just do not. I'm looking at it as like a video game, so if you hear any reports, maybe I shouldn't look at it like that. But it's going to be challenging driving out of the Philadelphia Airport during rush hour traffic. Hopefully I make it there with vacation left. I'm going to take the turnpike. That's the safest way to take. Grace is laughing. They're from PA. They know. You say safest. It's not the safest. But there are certain areas that I don't ever want to drive through or get lost in Philadelphia. One of those areas is Kensington and Allegheny. And man alive, just look it up online. Here's a picture of, I think this is Kensington. It is one of the worst areas that you ever want to get stuck in. It is full of drug addicts. Because of that, there is high crime. You are most likely to be assaulted or mugged, or maybe even something worse. When I was looking into these areas, I discovered that within these two cities, some of the toughest cities in Philadelphia or North Philly, there are ministries. Ministries. I mean, That takes a lot of faith, doesn't it? When your life is in danger, but you believe God's called you to this place, that takes a lot of faith. And those ministries are having an impact in the lives of people that desperately, desperately, desperately need the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why am I introducing this? Well, we can skip over and just say, okay, Ruth entered into the fields. But the fields were no place really for a woman. There was dangers, and Ruth knows this. She was not just a woman, but she was a woman without her protector and her provider. Her husband is dead. She's not just a woman, but she is a foreign woman. She's not an Israelite woman. And she's not just a woman, but she is a woman who goes into the fields alone. She doesn't go with anybody. She steps out in faith, and what happens is she sees and experiences what? The faithfulness of God. His faithful care over her. And like I said, we cannot get into all the details of this passage, but this is an important aspect that emerges from this text. God's faithful care is experienced because Ruth steps out in faith two times. First, to go into the field, and then second, she listens to Naomi and then goes to Boaz. And what happens? God's faithfulness. There you go. I see his faithful care in three ways, and you and I can trust that we will experience the same. Number one, in his providence or his guidance. You notice at the very beginning, it says that she happened to come to a portion. Yeah, just so happened that she walks into the field, and this field belongs to who? Boaz, who is part of whose family? Naomi's family. Oh, it just so what? Happened. Imagine it. Ruth just said, you know what? I'm a little afraid. I don't have anyone to go with. I can't go out there. I can't do that. What if I get assaulted? What if something happens? All the what ifs that we have in life are going to keep us from what God wants to be, wants us to be, and wants us to experience. God was guiding her. He guided her to this field, and he guides her to Boaz, and he continues to guide her through Naomi's instructions she follows by faith, and through Boaz's instructions she follows by faith. God was guiding our early founders of the church. They followed by faith. And just like Pastor Dave said last night, where God guides, God does what? Provides. That's what he's going to do with you and me. Not only do we see his providence, we see his protection. Like I said, she was in a very vulnerable position. She has no idea what's going to happen. I want you to key in on verse 12 in chapter 2. May the Lord reward your work, and may your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. Key. She sought refuge. She sought protection. God provided that for her. Boaz says to her, I've told my servants not to what? Touch you. He tells her to stay in the field. The idea is a mother hen extending her wings over her chicks for care, safety, and protection. You and I can go out into the fields, literally, because you and I are safe under his care until he fulfills his purposes for us, are we not? And you and I can go, like Ruth just went. She just picked a field. I don't know if there was a process of elimination in her mind. She picks a field, and then she sees God's care. He continues to guide her, and he continues to what? Provide for her. That's the third thing that we see. We see his providence, we see his protection, and we definitely see his provision. But when does the provision come? It comes after she steps out in faith. And does he ever provide for her? Notice verse 14. At mealtime, Boaz says to her, "Come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers and she served her roasted grain, and she ate and was what? Satisfied. A full life is a result of following God by faith. God will fill us. And God is more, he's filling their bellies. He's giving them exactly what they need and what Naomi needs. But he is filling much, much more than that. He's filling their hearts at the same time. Not only does he provide food for Ruth and Naomi, he is going to provide a redeemer. Well, we're celebrating today, aren't we? Naomi recognizes what this is. It's a word we saw last week. Same words found when Naomi says in verse 20, "May he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his" what? "Kindness." That is God's faithful, covenantal love. Never, ever to be withdrawn from his people. Being experienced here for both of them. When I talk to individuals about this building that we're sitting in this morning, I know Pastor Dave said to those involved that this would be the most spiritual decision that you ever make. Everyone says that it was a huge act of faith. They didn't have a lot of money in the bank. They didn't have much money at all. They tried to purchase the land next door. Where am I? Over there first. It didn't work. They came across many different obstacles. But yet here we are. As Dave said, these buildings are like pillars. Speaking to God's faithfulness, but also to the people who trusted in him. It was a step of faith. And God did all three that he does for Ruth and Naomi. He guided, he provided, and he protected. I look at what we have today. Well, we have a bigger building, don't we? We have a worship team. And we have a ton of money in the bank, but I wonder, do we have more faith? I think when we get these things, we kind of get a little comfortable, don't we? We don't need to have faith because, well, we got what we need. I look at what God did with that small little group and the little resources they had. Look where we're at today. As we step and walk in faith, He will faithfully care for us. Finally, we can be sure that He will be faithful to fulfill His purposes for us. Chapter 3, I just want to focus on the ending verses starting in verse 9, in chapter 4. Then Boaz says to the elders and all the people, so this is after all the legal things were taken care of with the other kinsmen, "You are my witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are my witnesses today." And all the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, of both whom the house of Israel was built. And may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth. She became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. And the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. May his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better than 7 sons has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighborhood women gave him a name, saying, "As a son has been born to Naomi, so they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." Daniel Burnham was an American architect who developed master plans for a number of cities, including Chicago and downtown Washington, D.C. He also designed several famous buildings in New York City and Washington, D.C. as well. During his career, Burnham said this, Make no little plans. They have no magic to stir men's blood and probably themselves will never be realized. Make big plans. Aim high in hope and in work, remembering that a noble logical diagram once recorded will never die, but long after we are gone will be a living thing, asserting itself with ever-growing insistency. Remember that our children and our grandchildren are going to do things that would absolutely stagger us. Dream big. I look back, as I said, at the faith of our early founders. I look back, see the faith of Ruth and see the faith of individuals in God and what He did. And again, I question my own faith. I wonder if it's because they were more certain of God's faithfulness. I'm not sure if they dreamed big, but I am sure that they believed in a big God. I remember the service for Pastor Dave's retirement, and when he preached a sermon charging me and charging you. I remember him standing right here from this pulpit, challenging me and challenging you to dream big. Not because of what we have, but because of who we know. Seeing what God did in the book of Ruth, seeing what God did for those who faithfully followed him should renew this passion in each and every one of us. Just like was said last night by Dave, he can do things beyond our imagination, can he not? Is the God of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, the God of our early church founders, the same God that you and I serve today? Absolutely. Can he do beyond what we imagine? We can dream big. Guess what? God's thinking even bigger. He thinks to continual generations like he does here. It's nothing short of a miracle what happens from emptiness to utter fullness. From nothing to everything. Why? Because of God's faithfulness. And the faithfulness of those who followed him. He's a God who answers prayer beyond our imagination, does he not? He answers multiple prayers throughout this. He answers Naomi's prayer for Ruth that she would find rest in the home of her husband, and she does. He answers Naomi's prayer for Ruth. He answers Boaz's prayer for Ruth that God would reward her and her wages would be full and that she would be blessed of the Lord. Little did he know, he would be a vessel of that blessing and fullness. He answers the witnesses' prayers for Ruth and Boaz in just a few verses after, 9 months later, after the birth of Obed. And then he answers their prayer for Obed because Obed is the father of who? David. You better believe Obed is famous. God is a God who answers prayers in ways beyond our imagination. Therefore, we can have faith in him. It should challenge us to faith. It should challenge us to pray big, to dream big. Let's not forget empty Naomi, who literally has her hands full with her grandchild. But more than that, she has who? Ruth, a living example of God's faithfulness to her, who is better than how many sons? 7, which is the number of perfection, completion, and fullness. I don't think that any of them thought that this was going to be God's purpose for them, but he fulfilled it, and he fulfilled it in a way beyond their imagination. And my friends, he will do the same for us. God used a Moabite widow, an empty, bitter woman, all to be part of the line of David because he provided a redeemer. God is thinking years down the road. When our early founders left that church, God saw today. If you told them that, they might not have believed it. And God is still continuing to work through you and me. We got to keep following him by faith. You and I are blessed today because of the faith of those who trusted in the faithfulness of God. And as we step out in faith, you and I will continue to experience that faithfulness in ways beyond our imagination, my friends. When God's people have faith in his faithfulness, it glorifies his name to this world, and that's what we want to do, do we not? Do we not want to point people to a God that people can trust in and rely on? That no matter what, he will never, ever, ever, ever disappoint us. This is proof. And we can sing, "Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be." I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. All my life you have been faithful. The goodness of God follows after each and every single one of us. But let's just not sing about it. Sing about it, yes. Let's experience it. And let's prove it to the world. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you how it challenges us and reminds us and encourages us. Lord, as we enter into communion, we are reminded of both. Your faithfulness to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on our behalf, and Christ's example of faithfulness to you, even in the darkest of times, setting before him the joy that was to come. And we are all blessed eternally because of it. Help us, keep us, continue to encourage us, Lord, to trust in you and all for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name.